Hi, this is Russ with RST Coaching Academy, located here in Daytona Beach, Florida. I am the host of Daytona Beach Business Talks, where we have the privilege and the honor of showcasing and highlighting area businesses. And to that end, we present them to you so you can get to know them. Hopefully, you'll find yourself interested in their products and services and want to do some business with them. So here we are. We'll get on to this next program, and thank you for tuning in. Hello, everybody in Daytona Beach and around the world. This is Russ with RST Coaching Academy with another presentation of Daytona Beach Business Talks, where I interview area businesses that get the opportunity to explain what they do, where they're coming from, their expertise, and so on. And maybe you're going to say, I'd like to do business with this person. So this is going to be an opportunity for my friend Pam to do that. So without further ado, Pam, welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here. Tell us about Pam and your business and what you're doing, what you're offering, not just people in Daytona Beach, I understand, but all over the nation as well. So have at it.
Thanks, Russ. I appreciate that. And thank you, everybody, for the opportunity to have you listen to what I have to say. I am really excited. One of the things that I love doing is helping people, help them achieve their goals, help them get across the finish line, perhaps even faster or in a different way than they ever thought possible. And so I've been doing business coaching officially for 6 years. And the reason why I say officially is because in my former life as a Bank of America executive, I did a lot of this as well. And when I was retired, I figured, you know, what do I need to do now that I'm grown up? And so I did a lot of research, talked to a lot of people who are a heck of a lot smarter than me. And they said, you need to be a business coach. And to be quite honest with you, Russ, I had never even heard of a business coach prior to that. Yeah, I mean, I played soccer. I was a cheerleader. I did all this stuff. I actually coached our kids' soccer teams as well. So I knew what a coach did, but not a business coach. And that's what I'm finding more and more now, is that when you say business coach to people, a lot of them haven't a clue, just like me, what that is. What does that mean? How can a business coach help me? And many times, I think one of the misnomers is that people think that a business coach is for those people who are failing or their business about to close. And quite frankly, I'd rather work with a business well before that ever gets to that point.
Yeah.
You know, work with people who are successful. And actually, I've had a lot of great success with businesses. And let's just be honest here. I also work with executives and what I call solopreneurs. And solopreneurs, for those who aren't familiar with that word, those are people who may work for another company, or they're a 1099 and they work supporting someone else. So it might be your mortgage reps, your insurance reps, realtors, et cetera. So I work with all of those folks. And you know, what's interesting is a lot of people will hire me because they want me to help them get from point A to B. But many times they aren't quite sure what comes first, the chicken or the egg. They don't know, should I hire people first or should I go get that new location first? Should I bring on this new product or service first? You know, where do I need to go first? And unfortunately, many times it's, well, we got to first look at what you're doing today. Is that buttoned up? Is that moving smoothly? Because the more that you introduce of new stuff and you don't have your base of that pyramid solid first, then, I mean, sure, all of you can imagine if you invert a pyramid, right? It's not going to stand like this, correct?
Right.
It's got to stand like this. And so you've got to build that base. And I work with a lot of people to build that base first before, or maybe even at the same time, we're looking to expand.
There's probably no cookie cut answer to that question. What should I do? You've got to kind of ferret out where they're at and what they've got going and what's working, what isn't. Is that not true? And I mean, it's like, well, you need to do this, this, and this. And you tell the next person, you need to do the same things, right? You've got to We're all individuals. Our business situation is individual and so on. So you've got to have a sharp mind and know the questions to ask, right? And then get those answers.
That is true. That's very true. And that's why what I deliver is not cookie cutter. It is for each business individually. It is custom to that business, whether you are a hairstylist or a photographer or a realtor or an insurance rep, or you're the owner of a business that's been in business for 36 years, or you've got a business that you're ready to open a new location. Frankly, running a business, yes, there are the main buckets of business ownership and the components of that business that are going to be the same, right? Marketing, sales, et cetera, et cetera. But the difference comes in as to whether you are a crane operation business, or you're a dog training business,
Right.
or you're a printing company business, or you're a sign making business, or you sell pet supplies and food out of a retail store. All of those really is where it starts to become different. And quite frankly, it's the people within the business that makes it very different too, because everybody comes to the table with a different skill set, a
Right.
different way of operating, a different way of thinking and looking at things. And quite frankly, that's what I love in what I do, is working with all these different folks and being able to meet them where they're at and then help them grow to that next level, whatever that might be. Some people, their growth definition is very different than others.
Very true indeed. Looking back, thinking back of your history in the banking industry, you never thought, never dreamed you'd be doing this as a profession. And yet you said that you were doing some of this in the banking industry with maybe select clients and stuff like that. But then the opportunity presented itself. Somebody said, this is what you ought to do. And you had an open mind, wide enough open to say, let me look into that and follow through. And here you are 6 years later. So that's pretty neat. A lot of people, you're out of the banking industry and well, that's in my blood, and I've got to go find another job at another bank. And you had the presence of mind to say, I think I'm going to do something different. And wouldn't you say that that's a pretty important quality for an individual to have if they're going to strike out and sort of break the mold of what they've been doing for who knows how many years, right? And be willing to go forth into new territory. Do you get people that they've experienced a certain level of success and they want to go farther. They believe they can go farther, and yet they're intimidated because they realize that in order for me to go do more, in order for me to go farther, I'm going to have to change. I'm going to have to change me. I'm going to have to change what I'm doing. Do you run into many people that have kind of that fear, that intimidation, or they're maybe going to be unwilling to change when it comes down to it?
Yeah, well, and that's one of the biggest things when I interview a potential new client for taking, for saying, yes, we're going to work together. I'm really trying to understand where is their level of change? What are they willing to do? Because I have to be honest with you, Russ, I don't work with failing businesses. And the reason why is because, and I know I'm putting it out here on video. The reason why is because I have tried putting my Wonder Woman cape on and saying, I can do this, I can turn this around. But the problem is that, oh, unfortunately, a lot of people, that the reason why they got to that position is because they didn't want to change.
Right.
They thought they wanted to change, but when it came down to actually making those steps to change, they resisted, they pushed back, they argued, they didn't do the work. And a lot of that is it can be anything from stubbornness, it can be unwilling to consider alternative ideas, it can be a number of things, right? Fear could be a big piece of it.
Oh, yeah.
They're fearful of change. They're not sure of if I do this, then what will happen? And so I have, and that's why I say I won't work with failing businesses. Now, there's difference between struggling and failing. And I have turned a number of struggling around. And that is so rewarding to be able
I
to
bet.
have that happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, that change piece is a big deal. And, you know, it's one of those things that when I started this business, probably the same as you, that change factor and the fear of, can I do this? I think it really boils down to looking at ourselves in the mirror and saying, okay, this is what I'm comfortable in. This is what I've been doing for 36 years. Now I'm going to have to pretty much ditch it, because I'm certainly using all of those skills and expertise in this business that I'm doing now, but really taking it and flipping it on its head and saying, this is what I'm going to be doing. And this is where I need to be focused on. I'm working actually in expanding my business and bringing on additional business coaches. And I'm talking to them around this very, very thing.
Sure.
And because that was the thing that I had to do. I had to ask myself, and I talked to a lot of new business owners about this, is this something that I trust myself to be able to do? Because if you don't have trust and confidence in yourself, being able to venture out and do something like being a business owner, which is huge because there's nobody to blame but yourself, right?
Right.
You know, if you work for another company and you don't do well, then that person comes to your supervisor, your manager, whatever, and says, hey, you're not doing well. Here's what you need to do to change. But as a business owner, unless you have a business coach like yourself or myself, there's nobody out there to do that.
Nobody pushing the buttons. Nobody,
that's right.
Nobody prodding the individual on. And the thing is that most people that strike out on their own to become their own entrepreneur, own their own business, they're doing that because I don't want a boss. I want to be the one in charge, you know, and yet introduce us into the picture. And although we're not the boss, we're definitely a loud voice, hopefully, in that individual's ear, telling them, suggesting strongly what they need to do. And they still have to be teachable. A person still has to be teachable with that right attitude of saying, okay, what do I need to do? You know, and it's just, people are interesting, aren't they?
They are, which is what gets me up every day.
excuse me. In your coaching environment, are you working solely with one-on-one, or do you do group coaching that could be owners or managers of multiple businesses that get together for a coaching session in a group environment, whether it's in person or online? Do you do any of that, or are you strictly one-on-one?
All of the above.
Okay.
So it is, although it's funny, most of my clients want me one-on-one.
I bet. You know, and
even
that's,
though,
yeah. And that's, that honestly, that's the best thing for them. But would you agree that maybe the limiting thing about that is, could be the price tag, that it's going to be a little more expensive to rent Pam for an hour instead of be in a group?
Yeah. Well, there's benefits to both. The benefit of group coaching, in addition to the cost, because I charge based on my time. I don't charge based on the number of people in that organization. So if it's a training program, if it's like, if I go to do a lunch and learn, I'm charging based on my time, plus of course materials and stuff like that. But whether I have 5 people in a room or 10 people in a room, I'm probably different than a lot of other coaches, because I just say, okay, I'm here for an hour. I'm going to charge you for that hour, hour and a half, whatever that time frame might be. So for people to join my group coaching programs is really beneficial for them, because then they can split that cost across the group. So yeah, I have group coaching for new businesses, so startup businesses. It's actually a 10-week program that new businesses can get into and really kick off and start their business very strongly. I have one for salespeople. So going back to that solopreneurs, insurance agent, mortgage, people that are a salesperson in another company, they can come in and be a part of that. But you know, one of the really cool things, Russ, being in a group is not only the cost piece of it, but the bigger part of it is being able to learn from others. While I try to have a lot of the answers, I don't have all of them. And so when you have a group of people like-minded like me, then brainstorming happens. In fact, I do a lot of mindstorming sessions. And the neat thing about that is hearing other people say X, Y, or Z really starts to cement that component of I need to perhaps pay attention to this. I need to probably do this. And it's quite fun because I do actually a mindstorming session the last Wednesday of one of our networking groups that I'm in. And people will bring a problem to the table and everybody will throw out ideas during that time frame. And the rule is you can't say, oh, I've already tried it, I've already done it, et cetera, et cetera. You have to shut your mouth, listen, and write down everything they say. But what is so interesting is people will come back after that and they'll say, you know, I've heard that so many times. And I kept telling myself, oh, that won't work, that won't work. But I decided since I heard it from other people, I'm going to give it a shot. And what do you know? It worked.
Well, and with that also is, you as the guest and expert on the subject can say, this is what you should do. And, they say, oh yeah, that's a good idea. But then one or more of their peers in the group has said, I did that and this was the result. That definitely kind of solidifies the whole thing in their minds, solidifies what you said, even if it wasn't something that you brought up. Maybe they brought up and says, well, I started doing this and that, and this is what happened. And even with your mouth closed, this other person is saying, they're glomming onto that and saying, wow, I like that idea. I think I'm going to implement that. Maybe they'll bounce that off of you later, but you got the synergism and working together, kind of like a group therapy, so to speak, but
Absolutely.
we all need that. We all need therapy in that regard for sure. And so you do the group, you do the in one-on-one, the in-person thing, I think, and then also the remote, like the Zoom thing that we're on today, correct?
Yes, and I also do training programs as well. So, like for the city of Sanford and other municipalities, I go in and I'll do group training. So, for example, the city went to a pay-for-performance type of setup. And so they had me come in and work with all 62 of their leaders on how do I coach my team now in this different environment? Because now I need to coach them on performing better so that they can, in effect, their pay at the end of the year, right? Whereas many municipalities, they just give you a raise just because you're breathing. And so I applaud them for doing that because it really starts to bring in that retention component too, where people want to do better. They want to grow, they want to learn, they want to do more. But if the leaders of the organization don't know how to do that, then that's a problem. And so I will come in and do training programs like that.
That is awesome. You're like the municipality, you're talking about a government worker, you're talking about a civil servant, shall we say. And a lot of times these people are, they're just kind of in for the long haul, sure, but just kind of coasting. And then this new incentive program is presented, and it's like, whoa, what do I do now? I've got to really perform, But if they see the carrot dangling and the light at the end of the tunnel, that there's going to be a definite reward for them, and that all things going to lead to their satisfaction with what they're doing. Do
Yes.
you in this particular instance, did you have to come up with a program just sitting down and writing it out, or was there something out there in the cloud that you could acquire and implement into this situation, or do you have to create that program on your own?
Well, that's one of the beautiful things about being part of Focal Point, which is a franchise. Brian Tracy. I don't know which of the listeners out there have heard of Brian Tracy. Many times you might hear of that book, Eat That Frog. He's a very famous author and trainer around the world. He actually created Focal Point. So there are a lot of materials that I get to use of his.
Okay.
In addition to that, the Focal Point franchise does a fantastic job of reviewing other programs out there and bringing them to the table that we become certified in.
I see.
So this actual performance coaching program, I took the program that I'm certified in, but then I modified it to meet the needs of the
Sure.
city of Sanford.
Right.
That training program was 3 full days long, and they needed certain parts and pieces because I had to build into it with them. Again, this is a program, you know, coaching people to perform was a very different mindset for these leaders. And so we had to really approach it from a different point of view. So a combination of that. Now I can deliver straight out of the box if I wanted to, but I find that many times the organization's going to have enough variation in it that I've got to go in and modify it to
Right.
where it can fit their needs. Similar to City of Tiberias executive coaching program I did for several of their department leaders. And yes, I've got something out of the box that I could use, but their needs were to a point to where I needed to pull from here and pull from here and leave that piece over there alone.
Oh yeah, that's the best way to do it. Otherwise, you're sitting there spending your time or paying somebody to create this curriculum, shall we say, when you've got access to something that you can work with. And that's the way I operate with Grant Cardone too, is we've got the basic out of the box stuff. But you know, there's everybody, every business is different. And so we've got to be flexible in order to meet the needs of that particular business, that particular crew, shall we say, at any point in time. So that's a good deal. What else?
And I think the other thing too, because people will say, well, why don't I just get that book? Or why don't I just do that? Or why can't I do that on my own? And one of the other things that I like, and I'm sure you have the same thing, the stuff that we bring to the table that is out of the box has been proven.
Uh-huh.
It's been tested. It's
Yep.
been used. Just like Eat That Frog is one of the world's best time management programs around the world. Well, it's been rewritten in 40 different languages and, you know, all this stuff. And it's because it is so perfect for meeting. I've even done that with high school kids, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah.
Eat That Frog, huh?
Uh-huh.
Wow. Now, your reach, you're in the Daytona Beach area. Where do you actually live?
Well, I live in the Edgewater, New Smyrna area.
Okay. All right. And, but you head up into, you know, Northern Volusia County. As far as doing a one-on-one, you know, in-person thing, what would you say is your diameter, your distance of reach? How far out from would you go?
I've had a client in Canada.
All right.
If that gives you any indication, it can be anywhere. Quite frankly, I could have clients around the world. The time thing, of course, is a little different.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I have a client in Colorado.
Uh-huh.
So that, you know, we have to adjust for the time zones.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah.
Well,
and
and
you
then
know, it's funny, people say, oh, you now are able to do this via Zoom because of COVID and everything. Well, no, when I was an executive at Bank of America, I had employees on my team around the world. I had employees in India. I had people that were in Costa Rica, all over. So I was doing WebEx and this kind of thing long before it became
Oh,
popular.
wow. Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. I never heard about Zoom until the virus hit town, you know, and then it's all over the place. You know, everybody's using it. It's a pretty cool system. Obviously, it's enabled us to get together today. When I went through the licensing program with Grant Cardone and the certification deal and so on, and there was two questions that were posed of us, and it's, what problem do you solve and who do you solve it for? Well, to me, I was thinking I wanted to do general business. And they said, you know, if you try to reach everybody, you're going to reach nobody. So they said, you need to get a niche. I guess the word now is niche, but I'm old enough, I still call it niche. Anyway, so you need to settle on a niche. Well, I've been in the computer industry for since 1984. I've been in the marine industry since 2005. So I've got track record in both worlds. I decided I'm going to focus on the marine industry. Everybody was happy because I made a decision on my niche. But here we are talking general business. And what I do in seminars are more on a general business basis. I'm leading up to the question, do you have a niche industry that you tend to focus on if you were doing if you're doing an ad piece, marketing piece or something, would there be a target, specific target industry that you'd be going after?
Well, when I'm asked this question, because I coach this, so I have to have an answer, right? Is while I serve and help anybody that might that needs help getting from point A to point B, my target niche is companies that have 10 or more employees. And the reason for that is because that gives me a lot more runway within that organization. Everything from working with the leaders of the organization, helping them grow their skills, helping them with the operations, working with the employees, determining, where do we need to go from here? Are we hiring the right employees? Are we firing the right employees? Do we have the right products and services, or are we kind of getting stale in what we're doing? What's that marketing approach look like, and how are we doing at selling, and getting the word out there? And by the way, I usually do not use the word selling with my clients. I tell them to get that out of their nomenclature, because really it's relationship building. And when we start focusing on relationship building, people feel a lot better about it than the word selling. But that would be where I say that I focus is employee, or I'm sorry, companies that have 10 or more employees. But as you've heard, I've worked with companies that have two employees. I've worked with solopreneurs. I've worked with a huge variety. And I thought at first, when I started being a business coach, that I would want to go down one path specifically. Banking, of course, was the first thought. But as I started to really go into this realm of opportunity, I realized that there's a lot of people out there that need help.
That's right.
And plus, let's just be honest, I don't fit well in a box. And so if I am doing one thing over and over and over again, I get bored, just like most people would, right? And so I found that if I try to stay more broad and just whoever comes to me, I'll help them. I'll talk to them. In fact, I'm meeting tomorrow with a gentleman who is got a food product that he's been manufacturing and selling, and wants my help in getting to the next level.
Cool.
Yeah, so that'll
That's
be
right.
fun.
It's you may have that target market, but unless you're so overwhelmed with business in that market, it behooves us to be open to serve anybody that really wants our help. And now you said you're going to add on some new coaches, so that's going to expand your reach, and maybe you'll find that maybe one or more of these will focus on maybe a different target, so
Yeah,
whatever the case.
I've actually got a couple of people that want to do just that. There's one young lady that wants to be a coach, and she wants to focus on the HR side of businesses. And then there's another person that wants to be a coach, and he's really into numbers. And so he wants to focus on the financial side of business. And that's their gig, right? If that's what they love doing, then
Then make a
I'm not
place
going to
for
stop them.
themselves. Go for it. Yeah. When you said
Right.
10 or more employees, is there a sales volume kind of associated with that
No.
you typically see that could be 10 people that are, $10 million in sales, and 10 people that are doing $1 million in sales? Just the whole
No, it
scale.
doesn't matter. It's usually the 10 people or more. And the reason for that is because, like municipalities, governments, they don't have people. Like, for example, I'm working with a Chamber of Commerce right now, helping them get their accreditation and their 5-year strategic plan built. So again, not basing it on revenue here.
Right. Nothing
So,
on sales volume. That's right. Or relationship building volume.
Yep. And like the City of Winter Park Fire Department helped them with their 5-year strategic plan, and they're winning national recognition for that.
Yeah. When you start working with a business owner, and you get to the point probably early on is, what are your goals? Do you find that most of them have clear cut written goals, or it's like, well, I get up in the morning and I do the best I can? You
I'm
laugh.
laughing. I'm laughing. I actually do an exercise very early on. Remember, I keep saying A to B? And that's what we do. We say,
All right.
where are you today? I have a lot of people that can't even complete, where am I today? They have no idea what their sales numbers are. They have no idea the satisfaction level of their employees. They have no idea what today looks like. So if that's step number one we have to do. And this goes back to what we were saying earlier in this recording, that people that want to expand, they want to do something different. Well, a lot of times, let's just be honest, they are bored with what they're doing today. And so they're looking for that next shiny pebble. They're I call it school chasing. But if we look at, hey, let's come back here and let's really focus on these things. Where are you here, 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 and here? I can bring that excitement back in to what's going on today. And while we don't lose sight of where we want to go, right? Get adding that other product, adding 5 more employees, whatever it is, we're focused on let's build this infrastructure here and make sure that we've got all of our ducks in a row here, or a good many of them. Because quite frankly, if you don't know what your sales numbers are today, you don't know that you've got 3 employees ready to jump the fence to go to someone else. You don't know that one of your best customers is ready to leave. Why are you focusing on adding more stuff to just compound those issues?
Right on. A lot of people, it's like they get out of bed in the morning and they get into their bumper car and they just boom, 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 they just bounce all over and don't even have a plan for that day, what they want to accomplish. And that can be a challenging thing for me, because I interviewed a woman a month or two ago. And we both decided that we are members of the Idea a Day Club. Idea of the Day Club. It's like, here's a new idea, and it's, oh, let's check this out. Well, what about all the other stuff? And it's just a real point of discipline to, no, I'll mark that down. I'll do that. I'll come back to that another time, but let me finish what I'm doing right now. And
That is true.
be a challenge. So,
That is true.
people want to reach you. They say, I like this woman. She's sharp. How can they get a hold of you, Pam?
Well, thank you. First thing I will share, thanks for this opportunity, Russ. I really appreciate it. It was a lot of fun talking with you and sharing. One thing that I will say before anybody reaches out to me is just know that I am not a puppy dog, kitty cat, rainbow, fluffy duppy kind of person. If that's what you're looking for, there are other people out there. And Russ, you don't approach me as that kind of person either. So,
Let's
they
go
may need
for
a
it.
different kind of coach if that's what they're looking for. I'm a brass tacks, get down to business kind of person. So if you
And
want to
that's
get
what they
stuff
need. That's
done,
what people need.
then I'm going to be your person. If you need that proverbial kick in the butt, or you need that person to be the angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other shoulder, then that's me. And I'm not for everybody. I mean, just to be honest with you, and I don't pretend to be. So, how do they reach me? Well, they can reach me by going to my website, which is pamharjus.focalpointcoaching.com. They can reach me via my office number, which is 386-847-8028, or they can email me at pharjus@focalpointcoaching.com.
All
And focal
right.
point coaching is all one word, by the way.
Got it. Right. So why don't you repeat those three points of contact again?
And we can probably put it in the video as well. So the phone number 386-847-8028. My email address, pharjis, and that's what you see here on the screen, HARGIS, at focalpointcoaching, all one word, .com. And then my website is pamharjis, no dots or anything in between, .focalpointcoaching.com.
There you go. Not looking for a mother, you're looking for a coach. You're looking for somebody to tell you like it is and to tell you like how it can be if you follow her advice, folks. So good interview, good conversation, and
Thank you.
good business, and good success to you as you continue on from 6 years, and the meter keeps running day after day and year after year. So it's been great, folks. Thanks for tuning in today. I hope you enjoyed meeting my friend Pam Hargis and her business, Focal Point Coaching, and getting a taste for the expertise that she has and her toolkit and what she can do for you. Anything that she can do, get a hold of her. And until next time, well, we have another super interview with another super person here in the Daytona Beach area. We'll just leave you to it, and look forward to seeing you next time. All right. So we say over and out. See you later. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
So thanks for tuning in to another episode of Daytona Beach Business Talks. I hope you found this episode interesting and informative as you perhaps learned about a business here in the area that you were not aware of before. At any rate, it may be something that you might find yourself contacting and want to do some business with them, and they'll appreciate it, and I'll be honored to be of assistance in this process. In the meantime, if there's anything that I can do at RST Coaching Academy, please give me a call at 386-286-2450, or you can email me at email@rstcoachingacademy.com. Until next time, we'll see you around town. Take care. Bye-bye.